So our next speaker is going to be Jeff Hatton from the University of or Mississippi State University, and he's going to be talking to us about the effect of variable organic matter retention on soil organic matter composition in a southern loblolly pine plantation. So Jeff.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, so I'll be talking about another one of these somewhat LTSP analog sites where we've basically managed and manipulated the levels of organic matter to examine stand productivity, soil nutrient relations, and in this case, I'm going to look at soil carbon and composition of soil carbon. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors. Jason Mack is a graduate student at Mississippi State who's looking at the production and nutrients in this system. Janet Dewey at the University of Wyoming, and Eric Sucre from Weyerhaeuser Company. Well, I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with why we're looking at organic matter management on these sites. In the past, we've done things such as piling, windrowing, burning, or removing organic matter, and there's current questions regarding how is removing harvest residues going to affect for biofuels and such. How is that going to affect stand productivity and soil carbon? And this study includes a treatment where we've added organic matter, and there hasn't been very many studies that have looked at how organic matter importation onto a site affects stand productivity or soil carbon sequestration. I couldn't really think of a real true analog in timber practices that would be adding organic matter. I mean, you can think about moving organic matter around a site, but the actual importation of organic matter, I couldn't think of one. You could think of maybe biosolids or something like that. Well, this study takes place in northwest Alabama. It's about an hour east of Mississippi State. It's on the upper coastal plain. Soil horizons range in texture from clay loam to sandy loam. It's a well-drained site. The site index is typical for the region at about 70 feet at 25 years. Prior to establishment, the site was a 34-year-old loblolly pine. It was clear cut in 1994. After harvesting, four replicates of these treatments were installed. The first treatment was the removed treatment, where all harvest residue, all overrising was removed. That material was then placed upon the added site. Now, this is considered a worst-case scenario. Never probably happened operationally where you would actually be removing a forest floor and putting it on another site. But we have thought of potentially removing this residue and using it for other purposes. So this is a worst case scenario. That material was added to the added plot, and then we had our typical residue and overrising management in the reference. So at the time of our soil sampling, the stand was 15 years old. This is just an overview of study location. The treatments were, or the plots were blocked on slope and on slope and aspect. It's a loblolly pine plantation, 0.16 hectare plots, 81 trees per plot on a 4.3 by 3 meter spacing. We collected soils from five different areas within the plot. We collected them in overrising and then 20 centimeter increments, and then these materials were composited so that we had one sample for overrising and then each of the 20 centimeter increments per plot. We analyzed these. We determined bulk density on all the horizons on the composites. We assessed the overrising the whole soil samples for total carbon and nitrogen using a dry combustion analyzer. And then I analyzed these whole soil samples for the cupric oxidation products. And the cupric oxidation products determines, and I'll have another couple slides on this later, further on in the presentation, but the cupric oxidation can determine vascular plant biomarkers such as lignin, cutin, and suberin biomarkers, and then also biomarkers that are relative or related to the degradation state of the organic matter, as well as a bunch of other biomarkers that I won't present in this talk. So, total carbon in the whole soil from overrising to 60 centimeters was not significantly different between the sites. The p-value there was 0.107. If it was less than 0.1, I might try to convince you that it was significantly different. But the variability is just too high, even though the added plot does appear to have potentially 20 megagrams of carbon per hectare more carbon. But you can see in the depth increments that each of the 20 centimeter increments of the adit plot did have higher carbon in that adit plot, and that was statistically significant at the 40 to 60 centimeter level, which was interesting. This stuff was added at the surface. It's being enriched at the bottom of the profile, or at least the bottom of our soil bed. The C-Dan ratios also appeared to be higher in the mineral soil of the adit plots, and again, only significant at the 40 to 60 centimeter level, where two keys could determine a difference, and then in the 20 to 40 centimeter level, was statistically significant, significantly different, but two keys couldn't find a result. And then the O-Horizon also had a lower C-Dan ratio in that added plot. So, in summary, there was higher carbon in the added plot and a higher C-Dan ratio at that 20 to 40 and 40 to 60 centimeter level. So based on the C-Dan ratio, we would expect that there's relatively fresh organic matter being added to that deeper soil. So fresh organic might, with the higher C-Dan ratio, could be enriching the carbon content of that deep soil. So the next questions I'm going to ask are, is this organic matter from above ground sources? Increased litter fall, there was increased litter fall. Imported O-horizon or that imported harvest residue, or was this organic matter from below ground sources, roots? Better preservation of root carbon, more production of root carbon. We didn't find any difference in root mass of roots that are greater than one millimeter in that 0 to 20 centimeter horizon, but that doesn't preclude there being higher, finer roots, better preservation of these things. All right. Well, to assess these questions, I'm going to use the Cooper-Cox addition procedure. And this is a procedure that gently hydrolyzes the polymer of organic matter into its monomers. And in this case, I'm showing the lignin polymer here and the 8 or so monomers that we get as products from hydrolyzing that lignin. This solution is then analyzed on a GCMS, and these materials are quantified. Lignin is probably made up of a lot more, well not probably, but it is made up a lot more of different kinds of these monomers, but these are definitely from lignin, and the sum of these will be equivalent to what I'm going to be calling lignin. It's sometimes called lambda or sigma in the literature, but I'm calling it lignin for you guys. We can also use the composition of these lignin monomers to determine the source. In this case, I'll have a slide on using the ratio of the sum of the vanilla phenols related to the sum of the syringyl phenols. And the reason why this works is because gymnosperms produces very little syringyl phenol, and angiosperms are enriched in syringyl phenols, so that we can use the ratio of the syringyl to the vanilla compounds to get at this contribution of hardwood versus softwood contribution to soil organic matter or organic matter in general. I don't have any pretty slides on this, but we're also going to examine products from cutin and super. Cutin is concentrated in leaf cuticles, so indicative of an above ground contribution to soil organic matter pools. Suberin is concentrated in roots, so indicative of a below ground contribution to soil organic matter pools. And so then the ratio is that indicates above versus below ground contributions. I'm also going to show a slide that looks at benzoic and hydroxybenzoic acids. Now these are just compounds that they're produced by vascular plants, but they're also produced as a result of degradation of that vascular plant material. And so we can use the concentration of that or the ratio of that relative to some of these vascular plant products as relative degradation markers. So the Cooper oxidation oxides, the concentration of these products can be affected by either their appearance or disappearance within the analytical window. So we're looking at specific monomers. We're looking at, you know, vanillic acid. And that vanillic acid can be degraded. It can be degraded into something else that we're measuring, you know, benzoic acid or whatnot, but it's no longer lignin at that point. So that would be the transformation of a precursor. And then, of course, this material can be removed from our analytical window by mineralization. Okay. So here's our first slide. This is lambda, or lignin. This is the summation of those eight monomers. And in this case, I have normalized it by the carbon concentration of the sample. And what this allows us to do is just look at that character, the characteristics of the carbon unrelated to the, you know, the carbon concentration of the sample. And what we see is there's not a whole lot of difference at the 0 to 20 or 20 to 40 centimeter level. However, at depth, it appears that the adder plot has a higher lignin content. So that lignin is not being degraded, or it doesn't appear to be degraded, and it appears to be fresh. So just like what I was suggesting with the C-N ratios, it appears fresh. This lignin value suggests that it's fresher, less degraded, than the removed or the reference plot, 40 to 60. And in general, our relative degradation state of benzoic acids also show this, in that while it doesn't appear to be statistically significant, in all cases, though, the average value for the adder plot was lower in benzoic acids, suggesting that that this material is fresher than that material on the added or the reference plot. So again, just like our C-N ratios showed, these cupric oxidation products are showing that the material does appear fresher on that added plot. So let's look at the contributions of below and above ground materials. Now, low cuteness suberin ratios would be indicative of below ground contributions. High cuteness suberin will be indicative of above ground contributions. Now, in the what I'm showing here, oh geez, I should have said this before. The hollow guys are the removed plot, while these pluses are the added plot, and then the squares are the reference plot. And what we're showing here is that there's more below ground contribution in the added plot, and that suggests that that it's more enriched by above ground contributions. And this is, you know, makes sense because we removed all of the above ground material, and so that material was not there for a few years. What's interesting, though, is why wasn't the added plot more than the reference? And I don't know. Was there a higher above-ground contribution diluted by potentially an increased below-ground, finer turnover or better preservation of root carbon? Root mass data don't support this, but we didn't measure anything less than a millimeter. We didn't measure turnover, this kind of thing. So there's still a question there. At the 20 to 40 centimeter level, there appears to be a higher contribution from imports enhanced by either above ground production, higher litterfall, or or just due to that imported carbon that was added 15 years ago. And then at the 40 to 60 level, there appears to be a slightly higher contribution of below ground components, so higher root production. I'm not sure, you know, we can't tell if this is a result of, you know, DOC from roots moving into that 40 to 60 centimeter level, or if it's actually, you know, more roots down there or higher fine root turnover or something like that. But it appears to be that the roots are contributing at 40 to 60, and then the above ground contributions are dominating, or relatively more dominant at the 20 to 40 level. And this slide is pretty interesting. So this is stringyl to vanilliphenol, so angiosperm to gymnosperm ratios. No big differences between the treatments at the from 0 to 40 centimeters. However, at depth here, the reference and the removed appear to have a higher contribution of angiosperm litter, more hardwoods. And what's interesting is these sites, you know, observationally, have more hardwood component, you know, more ironwood, more winged elm, this kind of thing. Which sort of suggests that maybe potentially the carbon concentrations or the carbon contents of these sites maybe being, maybe being boosted by the by these understory composition. So, in conclusion, so I didn't talk about it too much, but the removed treatments weren't different in carbon content from the reference. And this may be being helped by the hardwood contribution to soil carbon pools, and that, like we've found in many of the other studies, that residue removal may not reduce soil carbon, but will this result carry forward into the next stand? And that these added treatments appear to have increased the organic carbon content of the deep soil. And isn't this one of the holy grails of soil carbon sequestration? How do we get carbon at depth? Well, maybe you just dump more organic matter on the site. Brad and I were having a conversation about that earlier this morning, whether or not how that could be, since it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to us. But anyways, it appears that this material is the addition of fresh, relatively less degraded carbon being added at that 20 to 40 and 40 centimeter depth. And it appears to be a higher contribution of root carbon at the deepest increment, but a higher contribution of above ground carbon at that 20 to 40 centimeter level. So then again, what's the long-term stabilization of this carbon? Is it going to carry over into the next stand? And what is the limit of using this practice to increase soil carbon sequestration? Can we just keep flip-flopping, you know, mats of organic matter from site to site and boost productivity and boost carbon on and on forever and ever? I don't know. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge the funding agencies. Weyerhaeuser Company has supported the operational aspect of this work, and the Forest Wildlife Research Center at Mississippi State University has supported JMAC, my graduate student. And with that, I'll take any questions, if I can.
We have time for one question. Yes.
We have your photo of a design.
Yeah.
Ceram stand would be mostly hardwood.
Yeah.
Was that ABS firm contribution down from legacy from the original stand? Or is it? Your type of industry shrubs, but it seemed that there should have been an awful lot of hardwood material originally.
The syringeal to vanilla ratio is predominantly gymnosperm. It looks like gymnosperm.
And you have to sort of shift it, right?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that I think there's more understory, more angiosperms on that removed plot, and the SV ratio followed that relative to the reference, and that SV ratio followed that trend. So it suggested that it's the current understory crop that might be enriching, you know, the soil with angiosperm carbon, at least in my mind. And I think this has been in pine plantation now for 50 years, and you know, while soil carbon does stick around for hundreds of years.